Does your belief in God and His Word mean that you need to reject all of science? Is there a faithful way to integrate science and faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can purchase this $5 book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. There is one thing about the evening hymns we've been studying in the course of this week. As I look back on the one we did yesterday and ahead to the ones we'll do the rest of this week, sometimes if you could criticize, you might criticize them for being a bit generic. They talk about God. They talk about creation. Those are very strong themes. They talk about God's providence, protection, and they do not neglect the notion of God as Savior. But some of the evening hymns that we've studied, if there is a criticism to be leveled at them, it might be that they're not specific enough to Christ. Not so the evening hymn that we will be looking at on this Tuesday afternoon in part 2 of our 5-part daily series on evening hymns, Christ, Mighty Savior. If you have not heard this hymn before or sung it before, after this hour is over, you will be singing it in your sleep, hopefully as you go to sleep. It is one of the grandest of the evening hymns. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. And thanks for tuning us in. In hour 2 of Issues Etc., while Pastor Will Wheaton is with us here to study this hymn, Christ Mighty Savior, he'll be with us again in the second hour for part 2 of our series on the Nicene Creed. Today we're going to talk about God the Son and the Incarnation. Pastor Will Wheaton is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. A joy to be with you, especially to do this puppy.
All right. This is, you're boasting before we come on the air that you got the best of the week.
Yeah, no two ways about it.
And I think you also got the oldest of the week. This isn't of recent vintage by any stretch of the imagination.
No, the LSB notes that they say Cinta, you know, it's, or Circa, rather, it's about 7th century. So it's a hymn from that time. But the about means nobody's exactly sure. So, it begins to appear in breviaries, the church's prayer books after that.
It is unmistakably Christocentric.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not something you can always say about evening hymns.
You can almost think of this hymn as a little bit of an expansion of Phos Hilaron.
That's that
most ancient evening hymn, Joyous Light of Glory. Of the immortal Father, heavenly, holy, blessed Jesus Christ, we come to the setting of the sun. We look to the evening light. We sing to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy of being praised with pure voices forever. O Son of God, O Giver of life, the universe proclaims your glory. And it focuses then on Christ as the light. This is the common theme that both of these pieces are going to have, that Jesus Christ himself is seen to be the very light that illumines us in our darkness. And just beautiful. This was, by the way, what we have in front of us in our hymnal, 881, is a reduction, if you will. The original Latin piece was a 9-stanza hymn, and that was put into English back in 1916 by a fellow named Alan McDougall. And I wondered if, and I don't know if there's any relationship to Pastor Steve McDougall, who knows, I would wonder if it would be okay if I actually just sort of shared the entirety of the 9 stanzas, just run right through them, because we're not going to really comment on the content of these, but I want people to hear the whole thing as it was supposed to be. Also note the incredibly interesting rhythm of the piece. It goes like a triple followed by, it's da 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 da, which is just, it's very unusual, and you can almost feel it tripping along, but the particular music that's going to be set to this is just amazing. Anyway, listen to the whole set of the original words. Christ, very light and might, the world's salvation, filling the day with radiance of the bright sun, thou who dost make the dark night and adorn it with the star shining. Humbly we pray thee, meetly order all things, that in due time we welcome light's returning, that thou sink in resting at the twilight toils of the noonday. Lo, at the day's end, now the sun is setting, blessing the eve with the pledge of resurrection, and in high heaven choirs of stars appearing hallow the nightfall. Therefore with holy rites we come before thee, now doth each voice in holy hymns proclaim thee, hearts with our lips in fair accord uniting, sing to thine honor, that thou mayest hear our prayer and bring us healing, that thou mayest grant us pardon for offenses, strengthen our hearts and wrap in peace our bodies, soothing the weary. And though the shades of eve surround us, and though the world be wrapped in nightfall, yet shall our souls be clothed with faith, arising splendid from the heaven. Grant that all sins be banished and all weakness dry from our minds, that they be ever watchful, lest some foul spirit lurking in the shadow waiteth to harm them. Bodies may sleep, but hearts shall keep their vigil, resting at peace in Christ the Lord forever, in light and darkness, holy psalms and anthems, chanting to Jesus. Glory forever unto God the Father, glory to Christ and to the equal Spirit, whose trinal name our choirs of loving voices sound through the ages. So that was the basis, if you will, the English basis of the hymn that then Dr. Anne LaCroix reduced to the hymn's five stanzas that are you find in almost every English hymnal today. MacDougall's work appeared, I said, in 1916, and I think that LaCroix's version was first put out into common use in the hymnal 1982 of the Episcopal Church. And what's really cool about this hymn is rather than just sticking with the original plain chant tune, which is absolutely beautiful, most modern hymnals have tended to prefer the lovely tune Innisfree Farm by Richard Dirksen. He died back in 2003, and he's most famous in our day and age as the organist and choir master at the Washington National Cathedral of the Episcopal Church. So before we got into the text in detail or the tune, I thought it'd be good to get that kind of background.
You said that it's a riff on a famous and very ancient liturgical text. What are the biblical texts that you would locate behind this particular evening hymn?
Well, I wonder if it would be better to do those with each stanza, because there's not one single one. There's a lot that are running in the background. And if we just do stanza by stanza, I've got plenty of biblical stuff to talk about with each one.
All right, let's do that. The first stanza of Christ, Mighty Savior. Christ, Mighty Savior, light of all creation, you make the daytime radiant with the sunlight, and to the night give glittering adornment, stars in the heavens. That meter is...
It's unusual, isn't it?
Unusual,
yeah.
But rather, it kind of drags you along, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And I think it has... You would expect it almost to have some sort of a rousing sort of a feel to it, but it's the exact opposite. It is a very peaceful meter. And did you notice something else really weird about this hymn?
What is it?
You read the first stanza for us. You didn't notice? I love it because nobody ever notices.
Okay. What did I miss?
It doesn't rhyme. The entire hymn doesn't have any concern about rhyme. But nobody ever notices because the imagery in the hymn is so beautiful and intense that their minds are occupied and they never know, oh, look at that. That doesn't have – I mean, every hymn in our hymnal just about has a normal rhyme scheme. And there is no rhyming whatsoever from start to finish in this hymn.
What does that tell you about the text of this hymn?
It tells you that the text is very, very good. That you can actually carry forward the entire hymn on the basis of its profound imagery alone. And yet, it's, it, the thing about rhyming is it helps you remember. But once you've sung this piece a time or two, you remember it anyway, even without the rhyme, because the pictures that it paints are so vivid. So we notice at the start of this one, you mentioned that some of the hymns may not be very fully Christological. Notice how right at the start, this is going to be very Christological. It links together in a tight bond both creation and salvation, creation and redemption in one, because it identifies Christ as the mighty Savior who is the light of all creation and confesses him to be literally the Creator. He's the one who makes the daytime radiant. He's the one who put the sun up in the place. He's the one who spread the glittering adornment that lights the night, the stars, the moon. It all came from his almighty hand. So you hear this first stanza, and immediately ringing in the background are the majestic words opening up John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was light. And that light was the life of men. And the light shines in the darkness.
We're going to have to pick this up on the other side of the break, but I've been thinking a lot about creation lately. I've been writing about it lately, one of the objections, it's actually a scientific objection, Pastor Whedon, we'll get to this on the other side, is, if you go by that creation account, you've got light before there are sources of light. The sun isn't created, nor the stars, until day four of that kind of, people will say, that kind of ridiculous scheme of creation. And they say, where was the light coming from? And it just occurred to me as we were listening to that first stanza, I know where the light was coming from. It was coming from Christ. Here he is at the beginning of creation. He is, doesn't he say, I am the light of the cosmos. I am the light of the world. We'll be right back. Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues Etc. journal.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the Church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Part two of our five-part daily series on evening hymns today, Christ Mighty Savior. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. We're talking about the first stanza there. And I mentioned before the break that, you know, that kind of answer to the simple objection to the creation account is, where's the light coming from before the sun and the stars, the only sources of light, true light, that we acknowledge in the scientific universe? Where was it coming from? And it occurs to me, hearing this, it's coming from Christ. Am I saying too much?
No, I don't think so. I think that's one of the more fascinating implications of the Hebrew text of that creation account specifically refers to those lights as luminaries, if you will, to something that holds light, so as though light comes to them. And that's a beautiful way of confessing that Jesus is himself the light. This is such a biblical theme. Think about it. When Malachi talks about Christ coming in chapter 4, he says, you know, for those who fear my name, the S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in his wings, in his rays, if you will. So Christ is depicted literally as a sun rising upon his people to bring healing. You might think about Revelation 1:2, where John gets to see Christ. How is his face described? Shining bright like the sun. Reminds you of the Transfiguration, where again, the light is shining, uncreated light, shining from Jesus Christ. And similarly in Revelation, you get the stars are literally in the hands of the Lord. So the miracle of light is understood to radiate from Christ himself, even in such a way that by the time you get to Revelation 21, verse 22, you're told the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. So the light from Christ, the light.
Let's look at the second stanza of this hymn, Christ Mighty Savior. Now comes the day's end as the sun is setting, mirror of daybreak, pledge of resurrection. While in the heavens, choirs of stars appearing, hallow the nightfall. You said we don't know the author, the original author of this hymn, but whoever it was a genius. I mean, or the way this is put together to talk about evening as mirror of morning, the pledge of resurrection. Take us into this stanza.
Well, I think this is one of the most beautiful things that we have all but lost in our artificial lighting world. We have forgotten how you can see behind the circadian rhythm of our world, the pledge of resurrection itself. You know, each night we go into a kind of death. Each night we sleep. The darkness grows and we go into the darkness and we close our eyes and we sleep. And yet, each morning we rise again. So each little day is itself a pledge that the sleep of death will be broken by the morning of God's resurrection. It will happen. To see this in the natural rhythm was one of the things that the ancient church absolutely delighted in. They looked all, I put it this way, beginning inside of the third article, they looked through the second article as a lens out into the first article, back out into the world. And all of a sudden, the world itself at every turn became fragrant with Christ. They could see it everywhere, all around them. So the fact that the sun goes down and then rises is for them the sure sign that we will go, you know, we will go into the darkness, our bodies are going to die, but that's not the end, because he will raise our bodies just like we rise from slumber. He will raise those bodies into the joyous light of resurrection morning, and that will be a day that has no evening in the kingdom of our Father.
This is what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that in the new heaven and the new earth, we will be able to look back on the old one as under the shadow of death and sin as it was, and we will suddenly see what God was showing us every day.
Yeah.
What he was revealing every day, the creation really was screaming at the top of its lungs, who this God is, what he has done in Christ for us, but darkened by our sin, we could not see it.
Absolutely. And so that sort of ties, if you look there at the end, with while in the heavens, choirs of stars appearing.
You expect choirs of angels.
Choirs of angels you would expect, but you get choirs of stars. And that these are what hallow the nightfall. And immediately your mind is taken back to Job 38. Remember, this is part of God's long, where were you when? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you, Job, when the morning stars sang together? It's a choir. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. We're reminded of Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. And in fact, even though you don't hear their voice, yet the psalm says their voice goes out throughout all the world and their words to the end of the world. You think of Psalm 148, where we hear, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. So you get this cosmic sense again of the entire creation proclaiming the joy of resurrection to the in the Creator to the world. If we have eyes to see,
and just to tie up the loose end at the end of that second stanza, hallow the nightfall. Lutherans have a particular, and I would say biblical understanding of what it means for something to be holy, to be hallowed, and Luther says, God's word makes everything holy. What does he mean by that, and how does it apply here to the end of our day?
Well, we certainly think that the when you name, it really kind of goes back to Genesis 2 and the naming. When you name something, you name it in its proper relationship to God. You receive it as a gift from the hand of God. And so when Luther could speak of the Word of God hallowing all things, he gives the Word of God is what gives us the ability to take everything and put it where it properly belongs in relationship to the giver, and so be received as gift from the giver. So the stars sing together to hallow the coming of the nightfall when we look up to them and we're able to bless God for them proclaiming to us his own beauty and unchanging light. We recognize then that all of this worship is not something that we humans alone do. Rather, it's something that all of creation is doing all around us. This is going to be a theme that will come back in the hymn later. All creation's doing it. And basically, when we join the rest of creation, we're just actually fulfilling what we were created for in the first place, to give God glory.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with artificial light. You mentioned it before. It's a necessity of modern life. In many ways, it's a blessing of God, in many, many ways. But is it any coincidence that this is kind of our obsession to banish the night by lighting everything up when it is night? So to the degree that I live out in a little country town far enough away from St. Louis where I should be able to see stars, but I can only see a few because of all the lights down on the ground. In some ways, it overshadows creation.
Yeah, you're going to think that I'm really weird on this, and everybody else is going to think I'm even weirder. But here's my take on it. I think of it as almost a satanic attack on humanity that keeps us from living in the rhythm God intended us to live in and hides the beauty of the stars from our eyes. What absolutely floored the earlier generations when they would look up into the sky and see a beauty that took their breath away, we literally are blinded to. We cannot see what they see. You know, we have to depend on beautiful images coming down through the Hubble telescope on our computers to look and go, really? That's what's up in the sky? That's beautiful. Now, I know you couldn't see all of that,
Eye. Have you seen it for yourself? Have you been up in the mountains or something and actually had your breath?
Have. Yeah, it does. It takes your breath away. You know, I saw it most of all out on the ocean on a cruise, far away from any kind of light. And you just looked up, and it was like I thought I could have stayed there with my neck bent back all night long, because I'd never seen that, and it was so beautiful, so stunning. It really does sing the beauty of God if this is the creation, it proclaims the beauty of the Creator.
When we come back, we're going to hear the third stanza of Christ Mighty Savior. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And when we come back, this is what we're going to hear. Therefore, we come now, evening rites to offer, joyfully chanting holy hymns to praise you, with all creation joining hearts and voices, singing your glory. That stanza three of Christ Mighty Savior, the evening hymn that we're studying on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 24th. It's part two of our five-part daily series on evening hymns today with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is apropos for this conversation. My goodness. Five things you can do to appreciate science and love the Bible. You can still observe the beauty of God's world, learn about it, know about it, study it, and love God's holy word as well at the same time. The two are not in conflict. That's the main message of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. Five things you can do to appreciate the Bible, and to appreciate science and love the Bible by Pastor Charles St. Ange. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Stanza 3 of Christ Mighty Savior with Pastor Will Whedon after this. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Dr. Paul Grimm, Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on a free weekend event called Prayerfully Consider.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, check out Prayerfully Consider, October the 10th through the 12th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Find out more by calling 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. the Concordia Seminary Chorus with the third stanza of the evening hymn, Christ Mighty Savior. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Welcome back to the program. That third stanza sets it in a context that a lot of these hymns have, and I think this one probably may have originally had, in the evening rites.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go to church in the evening sometimes, you'll never get a chance to sing any of these hymns.
Right. It's one of the things that I love when it comes to Adventide. And we get to go to church in the dark. And I like to go when it's, I mean, it's not quite the same thing if you're going to the evening service and the sun's up. But when you're heading to the evening service and you see the way the star, the constellations that you see in the wintertime at certain times, I have no idea. I'm very bad about astrology. So, you know, I don't know, astronomy, sorry. The three stars that are in a row, I just know that I can see them and I say, oh, it's time for Advent. I have no idea what they're called.
Orion's belt.
Is that Orion's belt? Yeah. Okay. They're my Advent stars is what they are. But what I really love about this is that it actually calls us to participate in the act of the whole creation and doing this by offering our evening. The choirs of the stars are offering their evening hymn. So it's time for us to come together and join our voices to sing to their creator the same way they sing to the creator by showing their light. The cosmic worship of the Lord, it goes on without fail, but we've sort of grown blind to it. Stop and think about how the Psalms help us reconnect to this. Psalm 98, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. You see their waves, coming together. And let the hills sing for joy before the Lord because he comes. Or you think about the vision of the cherubim in Isaiah chapter 6, where they proclaim heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. And again, I quoted earlier, but all of Psalm 148, where the entire cosmos is just joined and urged into the praising of the Lord, because the Lord has raised up a horn of salvation for his people. In other words, all of creation joins in praising because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And finally, the passage that really sticks in my mind about this entire stanza is Revelation 5, the very end there. And I heard every creature, everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them. And they were saying to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing, honor, glory, and might forever and ever. Amen. So this cosmic offering of thanks is what we come together in the evening to join our hymns, to offer these holy hymns, praising him, singing his glory.
Stanza 4 of Christ Mighty Savior. Give heed, we pray you, to our supplication, that you may grant us pardon for offenses, strength for our weakness, rest for aching bodies, soothing the weary. Kudos whoever arranged that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think our friend Henry Gehrke is the arranger of that?
If he is, he gets my kudos.
Yeah, that's really good.
Now, this is the one where it's the prayer.
Yeah.
This is the prayer that we're asking for. And I'm struck at how much this is in line with the Lord's Prayer and also how much this is kind of down to earth. I'm almost too tired to pray.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a thing.
remember I said the imagery is so powerful. I mean, the imagery of this particular stanza is some of the absolute most powerful. You know, who doesn't know what strength for our weak hearts and rest for aching bodies is all about? You know, that's just right on. So having joined in this glorious giving of praise with all the creation, we cannot fail to see that our lives and this world, they're not aligned with this praise the way they should be. And so the very first thing that we beg for is forgiveness. And then we ask for strength, rest, and peace. And we address all of this to Christ. Why will we do that? Well, remember what Jesus himself said in Matthew 11, 28. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So from the very beginning of the hymn, crying out Christ's mighty Savior, we've been headed toward this moment where we ask of Christ this gift of rest for ourselves and for this entire weary world. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful lines from the famous Akathist of Thanksgiving, this long hymn of Thanksgiving that the Orthodox use, where they talk about the church. You know, you raised up your church to be a haven of rest for a weary world. You feel it right here. This is it. You know, you can sing this stanza and taste the peace and rest that you're asking for, even as you beg it of Christ. So the rest he gives, first of all, is forgiveness, because this is the great Sabbath. This is resting in the finished work of redemption. You enter into, remember, he finished the work of creation on the sixth day. He finishes the work of redemption on the sixth day on a Friday. And then he rests. He rests in the tomb. We rest in his finishing. He said, "It is finished." We rest in that work. When we repose our trust in Christ, we're saying, "Hey, everything needed for our salvation, every last bit of it, you have done, dear Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me rest in that sweet gift that you give." And then we ask strength for walking his way, strength for making our hearts firm in the way of his commandments. But we don't only pray for strength for our weak hearts, we also pray for this rest for our weary bodies. You can't help but hear the chiming in the background, Psalm 127, you know, he gives to his beloved sleep. And the whole also, I think, of Psalm 131 is in the background. Remember, you know, I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. This, okay, we're going to take all of the weariness and all the pain and all the sorrows of the day, and we place them up to Christ. We lay them on him and receive from him in their place the gift of quietness, rest, peace for our bodies, for our souls.
Stanza 5. Though bodies slumber, hearts shall keep their vigil, forever resting in the peace of Jesus, in light or darkness, worshiping our Savior now and forever. The final stanza of the evening hymn we're studying on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 24th, Christ Mighty Savior. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Pastor Whedon, what are your thoughts and the biblical texts for stanza 5?
Well, we're hearing, whenever we hear about vigil, we think about our Lord's warning and words to us that we should watch, we should keep watch at all times, pray at all times. We think of St. Paul's admonition in 1 Thessalonians, you know, pray without ceasing. And so this stanza reflects that. It says, yeah, our bodies are going to go to sleep. But you know what? When our bodies are asleep, our hearts, our inner life, if you will, it still holds its vigil. even when our bodies are slumbering, it's still resting in the peace of Jesus. That's what faith does. You know, even when you're asleep, you still have faith. You still rest in the peace of Jesus. And what I find to be absolutely wonderful about this is the conclusion. You know, it's in light or darkness. In other words, whether it's day, whether it's night, what we are called to do and to be is to worship our Savior, and to do this right now, and to continue doing this forever. I've said many times before, whenever we miss out on the calling to worship, we're missing out on what we were actually created for. We say, I don't have time. You're forgetting this is what time is given to you for. If you say, well, I don't want to use my voice for that, you're missing out what your voice was given to you for.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying Christ, Mighty Savior, an evening hymn on this Tuesday afternoon. When we come back, we will hear the entire hymn, and we'll get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington; Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas; St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska; Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina; St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland; Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas; St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota; Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado; and Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, September the 24th, 10 more minutes, as we're studying the evening hymn, Christ Mighty Savior, part two of our five-part daily series. Another series with Pastor Wheaton continues in hour two of Issues Etc. Part two of our series on the Nicene Creed today, God the Son and the Incarnation. Pastor wants to tell me something. What are you trying to tell
me? I'm just saying, before you play the whole song, you might want to invite them to look at if they've got a hymnal. It's 881.
881.
So they could sing it and follow along.
And actually, the best way to learn this hymn is to actually sit down and sing it. But I can guarantee you, as I said at the beginning, you will want to sing this hymn, but it will take you a little bit to get the difficulty down. One other thought on this hymn. This one begins with Christ and ends with Christ. And I wonder if that is an intentional part on those who finally fashioned this hymn in its final form, to say this is your life, this is your day, everything. Christ is beginning, Christ is end.
Yeah, I like that. What I don't like, though, is they cut out the original Trinitarian close, which still is Christ, but it points us to that Christ brings us into this great gift of glorifying the Holy Trinity. And I don't know why the translator didn't include that last way, but, you know, It's still a great hymn.
Can you give us your thoughts with about a minute here on the need for these hymns? We mentioned before that if someone doesn't go to church in the evening, sometimes these hymns don't get sung. They're certainly not going to be sung usually on a Sunday morning.
Oh, you know, we don't have them a Sunday morning. No, I mean, they need to be done at night.
Why do we need them?
We need them at night because we need to hallow the nightfall. We need to join the stars in praising God at night. This is one of the, you know, what does Psalm 134 say? Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. This is the psalmist exhorting us that this is not just the day's not just given for the praise of God. The night's given for it too. It's a gift of God for that. And there's something, you know, you've experienced it. How do we do it? We can't describe it to people very well except to say when you go to these evening services, you will taste a totally different experience than what you taste in the morning services. There is a peace and a calm about them that truly touches something very, very deep inside the human being.
Let's hear the entire evening hymn, Christ Mighty Savior.
You make my day dawn.
Pastor Whedon, what are your final thoughts on this tremendous evening hymn, Christ Mighty Savior?
My dad, when he was dying, did not want anyone to turn out the lights. He was afraid of the dark because he knew that the big dark was coming. And there are times that I think Christians can be afraid of the dark too. And this hymn catechizes us, trains us, that in the darkness we'll find him who is a light that no darkness could overcome. In Christ we'll find a light that will shine upon us through the darkest night we'll ever go through and continue shining to bring us all the way through to the brilliant light of resurrection morning. This hymn reminds us from start to finish that we exist, we are called to be for the praise of God's glory, that we literally exist to give him praise and thanks. It calls to mind our Lord's conversation with the woman in Samaria about what the Father seeks. What's the Father looking for? You know, he says, the Father seeks such to worship him, who will worship him in spirit, capital S, spirit, and in truth, capital T, truth, in the Holy Spirit and in the Son, Jesus Christ. I am the truth. The Trinitarian worship is what it's all about. And the coolest thing about the worship is it's us receiving the gifts of God and giving him praise and thanks for them, joining in the Spirit, joining the eternal Son, and giving praise, glory, and thanks to the everlasting Father. This is exactly what we're called to be, what life itself is there for. And this hymn opens this up for us in the evening and for our eyes to see that all creation is doing it all around us.
With only 30 seconds, a quick question. Could this hymn or other evening hymns like it, but especially this one, could this be also a funeral hymn?
Yeah, there's a huge connection between the evening hymns and the funeral hymn. In fact, one of the evening hymns, Abide With Me, is many times sung at a funeral because for that very reason, it ties, the themes tie together. You're coming into the night, but Christ is giving you a light that darkness is not going to be able to take away from you. And that's great joy.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
We'll continue our series on evening hymns tomorrow, talking with Pastor Stephen Starkey, author of Lord Support Us All Day Long. On Thursday, we'll study The Day Thou Gavest with Dr. Carl Fikencher, and we'll conclude our series on Friday with God Who Made the Earth and Heaven. Dr. Arthur Just will be our guest. Folks, if you're enjoying our series on evening hymns and you're a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutheran, here's a simple way that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. They call it Thrivent Choice. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and look for the Thrivent logo. When you click there, you can designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Lutheran Public Radio online, and if you do so before the last day of October, October 31st, Thrivent will donate an additional $25 to Issues, etc. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. Pastor Will Whedon will be back with us in the next hour in part two of a series on the Nicene Creed. I was thinking about this lately because we're only two hymns into this series. And the more I hear them, the more I think and anticipate our conversations in the coming week about these evening hymns, the more I think that's what I want to do. I think I want these hymns sung at my funeral. I think that they're perfect for not only the end of day, but also the end of this life and the beginning of the life to come. Really, the life to come has already begun. That's why we can sing these evening hymns. It's not like we're waiting for the light to dawn. The light has already dawned in Jesus Christ. It's a light that the world does not comprehend, but it's also a light that the world cannot put out. It tried to put out the light, but in him was life. And that light that Christ is the life of men. He's our life. And since he has shone upon us and conformed us to his image, crucified and resurrected image in our baptism, since he has brought us into this light, then the life that he has given us cannot be put out either. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues, Etc. after this break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.